is Lifestyle Indie with Julie Patterson on Freedom 95.
All right, welcome to the show. Mary Pat's here as well.
Good afternoon.
And our first guest, actually this whole show, we knew he'd be worthy, is going to be shooting the breeze with baby boomer stars. We're talking about some folks from back in the day. And this gentleman, who's our guest, has written a book about it, and he's talked to all these cool stars. His name is Edward Torchy Smith. Welcome to the show.
I'm here, and I'd like to welcome all the people who were dropouts from my peanut gallery back in the day.
Oh, my gosh. Now, explain that a little further, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. The peanut gallery from the Howdy Doody show. So you have to...
we're going to have to play along.
I don't want to ask you your age, but if you were a baby boomer, everybody knew about the peanut gallery.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, how did you get your nickname Torchy? Is there a story there?
Well, there is a story there. And
I want to hear
here
it.
Goes. I was born with bright red hair, and the nurse brought me to my mother, and she says, here's your little Torch. She said, well, okay, we'll name him Torchy. And, of course, they screwed me up big time. They registered me in school under that name, didn't tell me my real name until my third grade teacher said, no way. We got it. You got it. And so I have relatives that still don't know my name, and because I grew up in the Shaker Heights area, which is a suburb of Cleveland, and my kids still went to that school system, and I'm still around that area, so there you go.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So what's on the birth certificate?
Edward. I'm telling you, if you come to Shaker Heights or find somebody in 1965...
I'm going to. My sister lives up there.
...and said, who's Edward Smith? They would say, no way.
We don't know that person.
Oh, yeah, we heard about that kid.
Well, I have two ginger sons, but I would never have thought to call them Torchy or... Like,
yeah,
they didn't
yeah,
bring
they didn't
him
have
to
the
me
name. Ginger, Ginger was a, like,
not
a dog or something back then.
It's hilarious. I love it. Well, that's very cool. Now we know, Torchy. I appreciate that.
Yep.
Is it also true that you're a Butler University person?
Yes.
Oh, attended or graduated?
Okay. Well, I did graduate from there.
you did or that. Didn't?
I went to, first of all, I went to art school. I thought, oh, I'm going to be an artist. I lived down by 16th and Talbot down there.
Yeah.
Terrible neighborhood.
Sure.
And cockroaches, which I never saw before. And I was a hippie before hippie. So I was, by the time I wanted, before hippie started, I was too cool to be a hippie.
Sure,
but,
sure.
But, So I wanted out of there. So to make my credits good, I had to go to Butler.
Oh, I see. That's really interesting.
Because
there were other choices. We know there were other choices.
Yeah. So I was affiliated. So I went to Butler the next year. And believe it or not, me and two other kids had their whole Jewish quota filled. They accepted three Jews a year. And
oh, my.
And... yeah, it was sort of like,
what year was that?
That was in 19. Let's see, I graduated high school in 1965. I went to Heron in 1966, 67. So it'd be 1967.
Oh, okay. 66, 67. Okay, so Heron first. You know, Talbot Street, where you used to live, they have a huge art fair every year in Indianapolis. It's a happening art district now.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
must
well,
have
they
started
had to bulldoze
it.
Bulldoze the whole thing, probably get rid of the roaches.
No, no. Well, maybe.
I went to the Huddle. I remember eating at the Huddle.
Yes.
And I really did like Indianapolis. You know, there was nothing there. I mean, except high school football, just like you. I mean,
I
high
think
school
you're a liar.
Basketball, just like you see in the Hoosiers movie. It was
uh-huh.
just like that.
Uh huh. I think
and,
you're lying. You
yeah,
don't like
you know,
Indiana,
at that,
but that's okay.
Bird-infested hall that they had at Butler there to
All
play
right,
basketball.
All right, enough already. We're cutting you off. Enough with that. We're going to start talking about Cleveland. Actually,
okay, Cleveland Memorial Hall, which I snuck into.
Oh.
Because? I was the one who started the panty raid, which made front page of the paper in 1967.
You're a troublemaker is what you are, Torchy.
And they wanted to, you know, I didn't steal the TV out of the girls' dorms, but somebody
How'd
did,
you know about it then?
Because they called me in and said I was spotted inside the dorm. And Miss Indiana spotted me, who was a friend of mine at that time,
yes.
Charlene something from Kokomo.
Yeah.
And I got into big trouble. And I said, well, listen, I just was accepted to Kent State.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have
yep.
enough money to go to Butler anyways. So I
yeah, my dad
transferred
got his
to
PhD
Kent State
yep.
and
in Ohio.
I was a pretty conservative guy, but I was there for the riots and the shooting. I was there on that campus that day.
Oh, my goodness. Can you
That was my fourth Gump experience.
Man. Interesting.
But I liked Indianapolis. I got beat up at the Indianapolis 500.
Well, who didn't?
And,
did you get your couch
the night before,
set on fire during quals?
Yeah.
Sure.
And,
it happened to everybody.
We used to go out there and sketch for the art classes. We used to,
Oh my gosh, I can't imagine.
And I worked for a company right across the street called American Art and Clay Company. They made all the kilns and clay for all the schools throughout the country at that time. It's called AMICO, American Art and Clay Company.
Sure, interesting.
Yeah.
So you've written this book. The book is Shooting the Breeze with Baby Boomer Stars. We'll just call it Shooting the Breeze for short. So
okay.
What got you interested to start this book, to write it?
Okay, well, that's actually the first chapter of my book. And it kind of...
They didn't send me a copy. I haven't had a chance to order on Amazon. I apologize.
Oh, no, that's okay. Well, it's the first chapter of my book. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. We all know what Cliff Notes are.
Yes.
And
cheat sheets.
Yeah, right. And like I said, a redhead and freckle kid, I thought, I could do this. I want to be a kid star. And I want to, I was jealous of these kids, although I didn't live in Hollywood. And Shaker Heights was pretty high class in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And I had friends who got into Hollywood. And I got my kids involved. And my daughter was a TV producer. My son was a talent agent.
Oh, there you go.
And somebody from my high school created Saved by the Bell. So I knew a little bit about the business, and for some reason I had more tech savvy than my friends. And I said, I want to be on the radio and do this and contact these people. Where are these people? Because we have icons with only three stations back then, ABC, NBC, and CBS.
Right, very different.
Very different. And when we went to school and talked on the playground, we talked about the same people that we saw. There's only one or two kiddie shows for us in that time. And so everybody was on the same track, just like everybody had the same 30 hits of music. It's the same way. We didn't have all this variety. So I did it. And like I said, the first chapter talks about it. I went to the Mouseketeers first.
Yeah,
The original Mouseketeers, and I went to the least popular one, and he gave me an interview, and he hadn't done an interview in 30 years. He hated the Mouseketeers.
Oh, that's
he
hilarious.
He was fired, his name is J.J.
J.J.
And he was bullied. And
by the other Mouseketeers?
Pardon?
He was bullied by the other Mouseketeers?
Yes, he was, according to him. According to him.
And then
bullied at school, too.
Yeah. I believe anybody who says they've been bullied, I tend to believe them. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I can see it at the other schools, mm-hmm. I mean, you're a Mouseketeer, and especially in L.A.
Where are your ears?
he wasn't the best looking kid.
Well, they
picked
him for a reason.
He became a motorcycle guy.
Okay.
And so through him, which he wanted to hang up on me, and he got interested in what I was saying. And he talked for like a half an hour. I said, well, why don't we tape this? He says, you know what? You're right. I'm going to give you an interview. And he hadn't given an interview to anybody. So then I got a hold of Cubby.
Yeah,
Cubby.
Cubby
is very popular.
Yes,
and Cubby's wife said, Cubby would love to hear the interview with him. and so he laughed. He says, I got to set this record straight.
Oh.
Because, this
there's
is
always
and
the other side of the story. And it's Disney.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and he wanted to say, I wanted to blow my brains out after being in Disney. That's how bad he thought it was. But Cubby set the record straight, and then he got me all the rest of the Mouseketeers. And there you go.
Even Darlene, did you talk to all of them?
I talked to all of the living ones, yes.
Isn't
I didn't talk
interesting?
To Annette because I didn't know how to carry on a seance. If I could have, I would have.
If you could do a panty raid, you should be able to do a seance.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been good. But, yeah, all the living ones. And since the book, one of them has passed away. And
How old are they now? Like 60s, 70s years old?
I know we lost Annette.
Probably. Let's see. I am 71, and that's about the youngest one of the Mouseketeers.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
And probably 75 to 77, something like that. So, yeah.
Isn't it interesting how that was portrayed as such a perfect life, and behind the scenes it doesn't sound so perfect?
Well, you know what? They really worked. I mean, they it's not like today. They were on the studio all the time.
Mm-hmm. And no child labor laws.
You got to remember that show was 5 days a week.
Yeah,
and part of their contract, believe it or not, they had to go over to Anaheim on the weekends and be in the parade at the Disney Anaheim.
Oh, my gosh. At Disneyland in Anaheim.
They had to be in the
right?
in the parade every day.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Again, before child labor laws. Right?
Yeah, that's
well,
much of a childhood.
Yeah, well, the law, that's interesting because they do talk a lot about that in the book.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to, you know, do the spoiler alert, but it was $160 they got a week.
Which,
Spin and
can
Marty
we translate
got,
that?
More.
I was going to say, can we translate that to today's dollars? I can't. But.
About six times that. They made about $10,000, you know.
I mean,
it would be like $50,000 a year, which was, you know,
that's,
big time for them and their families.
That's
sure,
terrible.
Sure.
And, but they earned it. And, you know, when it was over, it was over.
Yeah.
So what I talk about, and I showed in bold print, is how each one of them either used that to their advantage or it was their downfall.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So, I mean, some of them, Tommy, who was a cool kid, very talented. He still is a makeup artist.
Interesting.
And is the head of the union for makeup.
Cool. Wow.
And Bobby Burgess became a dancer on the Lawrence Welk show later. He was a tall dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, he has a cotillion school. Cotillions were something back in the good old
days. I remember.
Which,
we had those in Tennessee, a cotillion.
The rich people went to.
The rich people would dress up.
Learned how to dance. Had cotillion parties, and they still have something like that out in L.A., so he does that with his kids. And each one has their story.
We are talking with Torchy Smith. He's written a book called Shooting the Breeze with Baby Boomer Stars, and we're going to come back. We've got another segment, and we're going to talk more specifically. We've covered the Mouseketeers, I think. Very interesting. he's interviewed over 100 different stars. We're going to talk about some of the others from, I don't know, maybe Animal House, Star Trek, Leave It to Beaver. We'll be right back when Lifestyle Indie Radio continues after this on Freedom 95.
You are listening to Lifestyle Indie. Your life, your style.
All right. We are shooting the breeze with author Torchy Smith, who's interviewed 100 baby boomer stars or more. We talked about the Mouseketeers in our last segment, and things weren't quite as maybe the show portrayed those kiddos, right? But it's never like that.
Yeah, but they were never in big trouble until later. Some of them got into trouble. But
like arrested kinds of things?
We'll move on from the Mouseketeers.
Okay, all right, we'll do that. We won't talk about anybody with a rap sheet, so to speak. Different kind of rap sheet back then. All right.
Yeah.
So, Torchy, you have talked to... Okay, I got to meet Belle Mumy. It's Mumy, mm-hmm. not Mummy, right? It's Mumy.
Right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and I knew that because I got to meet him, I think... I'm trying to think when it was. I don't even remember. I did radio for many years as well.
Who's Bill?
Lost in Space.
Oh.
He was the kid in Lost in Space, the main boy, right?
Yes, and he goes back. He was in, if you want to really laugh your butt off.
I do.
Google Bill Mumy and Mattel Guns. He did little toy gun commercials that would be very inappropriate today.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, yeah you'd laugh. They're funny.
So he was probably a pretty fun interview, I'm guessing, and also a child. I mean, many of these, well, a lot of them are child stars. Not all of them, but he was. So was, obviously, Jerry Mathers. What was he really like?
Jerry or Bill Mumy?
Well, let's go back to Bill Mumy.
Okay.
I feel like there's a story there.
Wasn't, wasn't my best interview.
Ooh.
They
can't all be.
I don't want to say anything negative, but
right. Go ahead.
He's hard to interview. He was a little testy. He was testing me, and I've met him in person, and that's all I'll say.
Okay,
moving right along.
You know what? I have a list too. of people that you couldn't pay me to talk to them again. Yeah, it's a short list, but yeah, those people are out there.
Well, and they all have their, I won't, you know, he was nice, but, you know.
Professional.
He's had abuse, substance abuse problems in his life.
Okay.
And we didn't talk about that, but, you know, he was a little edgy, and I'll just leave it at that.
Could have just been a bad day. That's what I chalk it up to.
No.
Could have just been a bad day.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Leave It to Beaver. Jerry Mathers, delightful, right?
Oh, yes, yes. I actually interviewed Wally first, and I was with them both at a signature show. And it turns out, if you remember Judy Hensler on the show, she was the girl that said, "Beaver, Miss Landers, Beaver didn't do his homework again." You know, she was the brat. So I found her.
Oh.
And I reunited her. She knew nothing, and I represented her in a signature show out in L.A.
Nice.
And Jerry and Tony Dow had done one for the first time at this big show in L.A., and she got the overflow. And I was proud that I reunited them.
I think that's great.
And Tony Dow's wife, Lauren, is absolutely wonderful, and we really clicked, and she really runs the show, so to speak.
Well, sure.
But
what woman doesn't?
Well, she was his agent at one time, or theater manager. And so, you know, I've met him. I've talked to both of them off camera, and Tony Dow spent time here in Cleveland, and I dated the same girl he did.
Did you compare notes?
For a whole summer, and we talked about that. That's in the book also.
Okay.
That's an interesting fun fact. The Beav is exactly like you see him. He's no different. He's very good at piecing together the questions. You know, he's done so many interviews.
Mm-hmm.
He's got it down pat.
Mm-hmm.
And he really is a delight. And no different than when you see him. I mean, he is the Beav.
So in your book, which is Shooting the Breeze with Baby Boomer Stars. Can we get that on Amazon, by the way?
Oh, yes.
Okay, perfect.
You can get it at Amazon. You can go to Barnes & Noble's, and if they don't have it there, they'll order from you. Please don't try to steal
for
it. You know, it's only $20 of paperback. And don't sit there and read it like the old people do. It's worth, you know,
speaking
put it
of
the
yourself?
Bathroom and read the chapter.
I'm sure
a
there's
night.
An ebook.
So you
say in your book that there are trade secrets never before revealed as the stars chat about, for example, being on the set of Animal House.
Oh, boy.
Tell me more.
Well, okay. One of my first interviews was with Mark Medcalf, who was
Niedermeyer
in Animal House.
Niedermeyer, yeah.
Yeah, you know, the mean guy,
mm-hmm.
and the one on the horse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that he lied. When he went for the casting director and interview, he said, I ride a horse all the time. Meanwhile, he didn't know if he was going to get the part. He got the part, and he couldn't ride a horse. He's actually afraid of horses.
Interesting.
So he had to take lessons, and he told me that the horse, that white horse, they had two of them. They're like twins.
Mm-hmm.
They worked, and the horses got more money than he did.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Yeah,
okay.
And he's great. You know, I was a lot of, he was testing me too, but unlike some of the others, you know, he was really a sweet guy at
good,
the end.
Good.
And it started out like I thought I was really talking to Niedermeyer.
Oh, really?
That told me to do
character?
Push-ups or something.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, also, Stephen First from Animal House is somebody
great
you have
story
talked to
about
in the
him.
Book.
And
he played Ken
I had
Dorfman.
The last interview with him before he passed
away.
Oh, the
wow.
Long interview, I
wow.
should say.
Okay.
And again, I won't tell you too much that's in there,
Read the book,
I'll tell you one thing, how he got the job.
Okay.
When he went out to L.A., he didn't know anybody. And he went out there with his wife. And the story of him going out to L.A. was, you know, he packed all his... He took his resume and his headshot and stapled it to every pizza he delivered.
That's brilliant.
And lo and behold, a guy named Marty Simmons, who was one of the producers of Animal House...
Wow.
ordered a pizza, and bingo.
How funny. That's a great story.
That's how he got the part.
Excellent story. Okay, yep. Let's talk. I remember Dark Shadows. Did you watch Dark Shadows?
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. It was like before Walking Dead. No, it was vampires, not zombies.
Yes.
But it was along the genre of, you know, it was like a scary, spooky soap opera.
It was on after school every day, I remember.
Yes, yes.
Let's talk about Maggie Evans.
Yes.
Or Catherine Lee Scott,
Lee Scott was on the very first one, and I forgot right now how many years it was on, but it was on a long
time. It was a very long
even
time,
did movies.
Yeah.
And it was such a big hit because it drew in a younger crowd after school that soap operas never had before.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And it was like
Twilight.
Oh my God, special effects in a soap opera. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was you know, kind of creepy. I didn't watch it.
Maybe it was a girl
but
thing.
I knew about
we
her.
Watched it.
But I knew about her. Uh-huh. So something interesting about her: she was a Playboy bunny.
Well, who knew?
Traded
in the bunny ears for fangs.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Nothing. No. So like people have passed. Yeah, we get it. But before you're a star, I mean, Brad.
No, she was from the Midwest,
costume.
And she went right. So then, you know, she didn't know if it was going to be a hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she kept on being a Playboy bunny.
Mm-hmm.
And
gotta have a backup.
This was out of New York. It wasn't in L.A.
Oh gosh, so she commuted?
No.
Oh, they were filming in New York.
They were filming in New York. Actually, in the 50s and 60s, and even most soap operas were New York. You know, produced, and she kept on because, you know, money wasn't going to be that great. You know, she didn't know, and so finally, people recognized her. She says, "I had to quit then. What's Maggie Evans doing waiting on me with her boobs sticking out at a Playboy?
I don't need to do this anymore, right?
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. So and the rest is history, I guess. So.
I guess it is. We are talking with Torchy Smith, and he has written a book, Shooting the Breeze with Baby Boomer Stars. It's an entertaining collection of first-person stories and histories for pop culture enthusiasts, which I know that many of our listeners are. We've got a few more minutes, so let's... is there a story you want to tell with another person that's in your book that's one of your favorites, one of your favorite stories or people?
One of my favorite people is Stanley Livingston from My Three Sons.
Oh.
I've been out to dinner with him, and we got friendly, and we talk every once in a while.
Watch it every Saturday night.
Yeah. So
in Tennessee.
Something that wasn't in my book, or it's only a little bit of it, was that Stanley Livingston got a call from Nixon. He said,
why?
Nixon says, I love this program.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And this is when he was going to he was already president, and he was going to run again. So he says, I want you to come up to, you know, San Clemente and meet my boys, and I'm running for president again.
Wow.
And maybe you'll be part of the team. he didn't know any better. And meanwhile, he's a Democrat. He's definitely left-wing. He goes up there, and he met Haldeman and Ehrlichman and all these famous people from Watergate.
Oh, geez.
And he said, and they talked him into going to Florida at the Republican convention. And he's behind stage, and if you remember the Republican convention, it was like a coronation, and Sammy Davis Jr. was there, and he kissed Nixon on stage, and his career, because he did that, was, you know, a big no-no to do something like that, especially in the black community.
And I'm glad it's not now.
And they wanted Stanley to go out front, too. And Stanley says, no, I don't feel comfortable doing that.
I'm not comfortable doing that.
And he said, I didn't want anybody to know later on that I was like a supporter of Nixon, or they thought I was. And,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, that had to be a thrill later on of what went on with Nixon. So,
interesting. Yeah. Well, we're running out of time. The book is Shooting the Breeze with Torchy Smith. He's the author. He's met so many people. Do you have... if you could spend a day with any one of these stars that you've interviewed, who would you... pick? That's kind of a
spend a day
question.
With any of them. Yeah. Well, I've spent some time with them.
You probably have done that already. Maybe I ask a different question.
It doesn't thrill me to, you know, say I want to go out and, you know, spend a day with any of them. I'd rather play golf.
Well, there's your answer.
I hate to put that whole question down.
It was a dumb one.
Okay,
it was a bad question.
I know about you now. You know a little bit about me. You know, I'm doing my Jackie
Mason
here. But
doing all your research.
You know, it's been nice around. You know.
So all this research, all these stars, how long did it take you to put this book together? A lifetime?
Once I got going, you know, a matter of months. But, you know, it took me 2 years to do all the interviews.
Okay, yeah.
And then,
it takes some time.
Oh, my gosh, you have no idea. You have to get permission.
Yeah.
And a couple of them said, oh, yeah, just do anything, write anything you want. By the way, Geraldo did the, I could do a whole section about Geraldo. Geraldo's a friend of mine. And there's a reason why. And Geraldo did the foreword, and he's a chapter in my book.
Got it.
But
Torchy, we got to wrap it up. I hate to cut you off.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh, what a pleasure. Torchy Smith, the book is Shooting the Breeze with Baby Boomer Stars. You can get it on Amazon and anywhere else you want to ask for it. Thanks for being on the show today. We appreciate your time.
Okay.
We'll pick up the book.
Julie and Mary.
Okay. And you're listening to Freedom 95.